Thanks so much for joining us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here, turning our attention to mushrooms. Do you like eating mushrooms? Ever thought about growing them? Tell you what, we can talk about that with our guest today, UW La Crosse Professor Thomas Volk. He's a world-renowned expert on mushrooms and fungi. And what he doesn't know isn't probably worth knowing when it comes to mushrooms and fungi. So it's great to have him with us today to talk about mushrooms. We can talk about growing mushrooms. We can talk about identifying them. I'm sure morel mushrooms are bound to come up on today's show. I hope you'll join in with your questions or comments. You can call us at 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. Tom Volk, welcome. Good to see you.
Hi, Larry. It's good to see you.
I know. I was trying to remember. It's been a long time, so it's good to be able to see your face today. What? Somebody says, well, what is a mushroom? So what is a mushroom?
So the mushroom is macroscopic, so you can see it, but it's the reproductive structure of something that's growing mostly underground or in the wood or wherever it's growing. So it's used for reproduction, making spores that spread out through to get to a new spot, find new food.
And fungi, how is it different from fungi?
So all mushrooms are fungi, but there are lots of fungi that don't produce mushrooms, like molds and yeasts and things like that.
Yeah. I can remember, now this goes back a long time, I bought one of these little logs with the mushroom plugs already supposedly in, and I think I got 4 mushrooms. So my success at growing mushrooms was limited. I may have told you this before, but I had a book on growing mushrooms, and the author suggested for the best results you could get elephant manure. And I thought, well, I'm going to have a little trouble finding elephant manure, but are they difficult to grow?
I've never heard about elephant manure. There are some. Do you remember what kind of mushrooms you were growing?
They were shiitake mushrooms. That's right.
Okay. So shiitake are a little bit more difficult than, for example, oyster mushrooms or the lion's mane mushroom. Those two are pretty straightforward to grow. Most of the good mushroom, a good place to get your mushroom information for growing is at Field and Forest Products, which is in Peshtigo, Wisconsin. And if you go to fieldforest.net, there is a lot of information about purchasing logs that are already made or to inoculate your own logs. The wood decay stuff is the easiest to grow. So things that are growing on logs. So usually you inoculate some wooden dowels that are impregnated with the fungus into the log and let them grow for a while. And if you have the right conditions, if you keep them moist enough and the right temperatures, you get some pretty good mushroom growth out of it. Maybe more than the 4 you got.
Oh, man. Well, Ben in Watertown has a question, I think, that or a comment that relates to this. So let's go there. Ben, hi. Thanks for calling.
Yeah. Hi. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Hi, Ben. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm in Watertown. I did some shiitake logs last week, and 10 logs, and I got 10 more to do next Sunday. But I'm also doing some totem method. Familiar with that?
The totem
Is that where you put them into a bag and let the spawn creep
yeah,
up?
Yeah. And I don't know if it's too early to put those out. in the field. You know, they sit a long time and are going to hopefully produce on those 1 foot yeah. sections of wider logs piled up into a
totem. You can keep some of those indoors for a while where it's a little bit warmer, and then put them out, you know, when you're ready to, you know, when it gets a little bit warmer, and they'll keep growing. They'll just give them a good start. I'd keep them inside for a little bit.
Yeah, he probably needs more sustainable 50 degrees or better temperatures.
Yeah, it's 40 degrees here in La Crosse, and there's the mushrooms are not happy or they're not growing. A few of them are.
No. Well, overnight it was 32 degrees in Madison at one point.
Yeah, same here.
So it's pretty cold for it. Well, let's talk more about the totem method. So what do you do there, Tom?
I think that what he's talking about is you put the spawn in the bottom of a garbage bag, and then you can stack another one on top of that, putting spawn in between. So spawn is the part of the mushroom that's going to grow into the log, the hyphae or the mycelium, we call it. And essentially what you're doing is allowing the mycelium to grow up through the log without having to drill holes in it. and so what you're doing is taking advantage of, you know, the xylem all runs one direction, the wood is running one direction, and it's easier for the spawn to grow that way straight up instead of trying to go sideways in the log. And so that's kind of taking advantage of that. And that works with oyster mushrooms, but does not work really well with shiitake. I don't know anybody who does that with shiitake.
Mushrooms. Okay, there you go, Ben. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it. You can join in too, 800-642-1234, or email us to ideas@wpr.org. Eva from Madison wonders about those mushroom growing kits you can buy online. Are they any good, or is there something better?
They work pretty well if you have your right conditions. There are some that are meant to be used outdoors and some that are meant to be in places like your bathroom where it's pretty humid inside. And so you can get these kits. Fieldforest.net has various kinds of kits available. There are other ones as well. But the local stuff is adapted for the local environment. And so the ones that you get from Peshtigo would probably be better for Wisconsin at least, and other places as well. So, but they have strains that would grow anywhere. And so it's a matter of, you know, finding what's right for the conditions that you have. You know, if you had it, for example, if you're going to grow tomatoes, you wouldn't want to grow them in the shade. If you had a shady yard, you just wouldn't grow tomatoes. So you want to have the conditions right for the mushroom that you choose.
And fieldforest.net is what you're suggesting.
That's correct.
Yep. Eve, go to
Joe and Mary Ellen are great. They'll answer your questions.
How much do you grow many mushrooms of your own, or do you just run out and find them in the field?
I mostly just find them. I have grown some. I've grown oysters and shiitake and such, but I'm not patient enough to do all of that. So I just go out and find my own. They're free.
Yeah, and you're outside.
There's plenty of land around the grass. Yeah.
Yeah, Rana in Cameron. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, Rana and Cameron has a question or a comment. Rana, what's on your mind?
Hi, good morning. I'm excited to speak with your guest and ask some questions.
Hi, Rana.
First, what's the morel mushroom season look like this year? We've had such spotty rain up here in northwest Wisconsin. The second question is, I was lucky enough to find some chicken of the woods last year. What seems to be their favorite area or type of wood or conditions to grow in? Thank you.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks for calling.
So it's hard to tell with morels what's going to happen. You know, it's been relatively dry for a lot of Wisconsin. I haven't kept track of all the areas, but it's been pretty dry here. But we've gotten a bit of rain. Some of the best mushroom I ever had was when it was really dry, and then it suddenly where there was a deluge of rain. And I think everything fruited at once because it thought, oh, my God, it might not ever rain again. I better send up my mushrooms. But then there have been years where it never gets warm and wet at the same time. There was one year, it must be 4 or 5 years ago now, where we found morels here on March 25th. And it was really warm that March. And then it dried out and we never got any more. So they're really fickle about their weather. It needs to be the right temperature and the right amount of water at the right time. And sometimes it is, and you get bushels of them, and sometimes it's not, and you're happy with six.
Well, you're never happy with just six.
Well, no, but you have to content yourself with that.
What about Rhonda's
other question was about chicken of the woods.
Yeah.
And chicken of the woods, you can start to find in mid-May sometimes in Wisconsin. They've kind of switched around, and I usually didn't used to find them as early as May, but you get some of them showing up, and then there's usually not during the summer, and then again, late August into September and October. So the chicken of the woods is a really good mushroom. It tastes like chicken. Like it should, it has the same kind of texture as chicken if you prepare it right. So it's a good mushroom. It's bright orange on the top and either yellow or white underneath. And they're huge.
Yeah, they are huge indeed. And preparing them, how do you like to prepare them?
I generally saute everything in butter. But you can use the chicken of the woods, like you would substitute. I've had deep fried chicken of the woods, breaded and deep fried, and I've had it in various kinds of stews and things like that. And if you put it in with the chicken, it tastes like chicken. It makes a good chicken helper. So it's a
lots of ways.
They're good.
Lots
mushrooms.
Of ways that. Yeah, lots of ways to do it.
Nobody's
Tom Volk, our guest. We'll talk some more with Tom Volk here. We're going to take a quick look at the news, find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network. And then Tom Volk will be back to talk more about mushrooms. Stay with us. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network. Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Our guest today, Tom Volk, professor of biology at the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse, where he teaches courses on mycology. And we're talking about mushrooms with him on the show today. Would you like to grow some mushrooms? What questions do you have about the process? What about finding mushrooms? What kind of stories have you got about your search for morels or other kinds of mushrooms? Love to hear from you. Give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us. The email address is ideas@wpr.org. And so we got into morels a little bit, Tom, but lots of people like to forage for mushrooms, and morels are a favorite. I think in part because they're easy to identify, but already a few people have said, are they out yet? I haven't seen but I haven't been looking.
No, I have my spies who are out, and there are actually some online maps that chart when people report them, and the closest I've seen is like Southern Illinois. So nothing yet. But it's got to warm up. Usually the nighttime temperatures are above 50. The soil temperature has to warm up. So start looking on the south slopes. South facing slopes are the best to start out with. Eventually they'll be out somewhere.
Yeah. I've got a spot or two that I could pretty much go there, and within an area I'm going to, a couple hundred foot area, I'm almost sure to find morel mushrooms.
Yeah, when the oak leaves are the size of the squirrel's ear. Whatever that means.
That's it. Oh, man. David emailed that, assuming his identification of mushrooms was correct. Is there a reason why if he eats too many wild mushrooms, he gets nauseous? This occurred with chicken of the woods and lion's mane. It never occurs with farm-grown mushrooms.
You know, there's some people develop allergies to mushrooms as they eat a lot of them. And that can manifest itself in the nausea. But sometimes you can overeat, like if he's talking about the chicken of the woods. Sometimes if it's undercooked or they're not very fresh, there can be all sorts of problems with digestion of them. So that's my guess with that. I haven't heard about that with lion's mane happening, but there could be the same, you know, kinds of problems, you know, not cooking them enough. And, you know, when you collect things from the wild, you're collecting the wild, you know, and there could be other stuff in there too, bacteria and what have you, that are causing problems. So cooking them is very important. Cooking them well is very important.
So, and with something like chicken of the woods, how you said, well, you want to make sure they're kind of fresh, but I mean, how many days could you let them sit?
Usually, you know, you collect them from the woods and eat them that day, or prepare them to stop their metabolism. You know, if you cook them, parboil them part way, but they have to be, you know, cooked really well, unless they're really, really, really tender. And sometimes you find it when it's not so tender.
Yeah.
So old in terms of how long it's been growing in the woods.
Bob in West Salem, it's your turn. Hi, Bob. Thanks for calling.
Hello. Does anybody actually grow morels from spores like you see people advertising in the marketplace and stuff?
There have been reports of people growing them, yes. There are a couple patents on growing them from the 1980s that don't work. But there are a couple companies that are able to grow them, but not really repeatedly and easily. There is some people in China who are growing them only during certain times of the year. But you know, your best bet is to throw your, you know, you wash the morels and throw the spores outside. And if you're lucky, some morels might come up. And so that's basically all you can do at home to grow morels, unless you have some, you know, big kind of facility to do that. So they're tricky.
They are tricky. And sometimes they'll pop up in weird places. I remember dentist telling me that he had one of his clients' patients called and said, I got these mushrooms in my backyard. I don't know what they are. And he goes, so he went over and took a look, and this is this huge bed of morel mushrooms right in their backyard, which he got a couple of grocery bags full.
And I'll take those home for you to test them.
Oh, he took them home, and the next year at the same time he looked her up and said, "Hey, have you had any mushrooms?" And no, that was the end of it right there. That one time they popped up, and that was first and only.
Sometimes they come up after a fire, you know, and it changes the soil, and nobody really understands exactly what's going on in the Midwest, especially with fire.
Janice emailed. She wants to know how you got interested in mushrooms.
So I took a course in mycology in college, and I found out you could get free food if you knew what you were doing. And so I thought that was good as a poor college student. And so I became really interested in fungi. And they're kind of weird, and I'm a little bit weird. So, you know, there's a lot of basic research that still needs to be done in mycology. And, you know, it's an opportunity to get in on the ground floor of a lot of things. So it was 40 years ago when I had mycology, more than 40 years ago. And so there's been it's been really fun. I mean, I've met people from all over the country. There's a lot of amateur mushroom clubs, and I've lectured at a lot of them, and you know, they're great. Just great people.
So when you talk about research, have you been involved, or what kinds of research have you been involved in over the years relating to mushrooms? It'd be kind of interesting to know.
Yeah, my PhD was about the life cycle of the morel, so that's why I know quite a bit about that. But I've worked on the chicken of the woods, and I've worked on honey mushrooms, and I've worked on a few other things like that. So it's been fun.
Yeah, I bet it is. Ann in Madison has a question. Let's go to her. Ann, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi. I wonder if your guest could talk a little bit about poisonous mushrooms. For instance, what might we experience if we ate poisonous mushrooms? And are there common poisonous mushrooms that we might see a lot and want to pick but shouldn't?
Yeah, so that's a whole hour-long lecture. There are some mushrooms that are really poisonous, like the death angel and the death cap, that will kill you within 3 days. And then there are a whole bunch of other ones in Wisconsin that will make you sick enough to wish you were dead. So, you know, there's a lot of different kinds of symptoms. Hallucinating is a symptom. I don't know if you call that poisoning or not. But there are, you know, lots of mushrooms. There's maybe, I don't know, a couple hundred species, maybe 150 species in Wisconsin that would make you sick. And there's probably around maybe 200, 250 species in Wisconsin that are really delicious. And then there's another 10,000 species that, you know, they're too thick or too hard or too soft or too bitter or too something to bother eating. And so, you know, that just gives you a taste of, so to speak, of poisonous mushroom. But there are a lot of them.
What's your advice on this? I'm thinking if I want to, you know, hunt mushrooms, I kind of learn maybe the two or three that I like and really get to learn to identify them. Is that the way to go? And then just ignore everything else?
I think if you're going to eat mushrooms from the wild, you need to know which ones are poisonous, as well as knowing these few that you might be able to identify. The best way to learn mushrooms is to join a mushroom club. And there are several mushroom clubs in Wisconsin. There's about 110 mushroom clubs in North America, amateur mushroom clubs. There's one in the Wisconsin Mycological Site is based in mostly in Milwaukee. There's the Madison Mycological Society based mostly in Madison. And here at UW-La Crosse, we have a UW-La Crosse Mycology Club that's open to the public as well. And there are a few others maybe scattered up north that are available as well. So that's the best way. You go out with people who are knowledgeable and they help you to find things and show you spots. And, you know, you can learn a whole lot pretty quickly in one of these groups. So I really highly recommend that you seek out one of the groups and find them and go out hunting with them.
Makes good sense. Ken in Mundelein, Illinois, your turn. Hi, Ken.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good.
Appreciate for you, or not question, but asking you to kind of pontificate on something. I've read that animals are much more closely related to fungus than animals are to plants. And part of that is that fungus use chitin instead of cellulose to build themselves. And chitin, I believe, is the same thing that like an insect carapace is made of. And so I was just wondering about that and that, you know, they say almost mushrooms are almost like an animal that lives a vegetative lifestyle. And so I was just wondering if you could comment on that.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, that is all that everything you said is true. And so physiologically, we are very similar to fungi. You know, we have, of course, a different body plan and we eat differently. But we are very closely related to fungi. And this is shown by, I teach a course in medical mycology, and when you get a fungal infection in your body, it's actually really difficult to treat a fungal infection without killing human cells. And so, you know, there are very few, there's, you know, maybe 10 targets you can hit, and some are which are pretty obscure, but chitin is one of them. We have an analog of chitin in our bodies called hyaluronic acid. And so we have something similar to chitin in our bodies, but it doesn't do the same. It does have a different function. So yes, fungi and people are more closely related than either one are to plants. Plants are actually way off by themselves.
There we go. That's interesting. Thanks, Ken. Mitch in Wautoma, your turn. Hi, Mitch.
Hey, Larry. Great show as always.
Thank you.
I just had some interesting information about propagating morels at home. In Trad Cotter's book, Organic Mushroom Farming and Mycoremediation, he's a farmer out of the Carolinas, and he runs a company, Mushroom Mountain, that also has a webpage, but you can read about morel beds that he makes where he layers non-nutritive soil on top of a nutritive soil, and that forces the mushroom to form a sclerotia while it's searching out the nutritive soil that's deeper. But the science in there is super interesting. And, you know, he says, obviously, it's not going to work all the time, like your guest said, but it would increase your chances. And I think it's really interesting for anyone who would be interested in that.
Hmm. Well, thanks for calling, Mitch. Tom, a comment?
Certainly, if you inoculate the spores or the mycelium somewhere, you're more likely to get the mushrooms than if there is no spores or mycelium there. So sometimes you luck out.
Yeah. Thank you again, Mitch. Let's go to Mike in Madison. Hi, Mike.
Good afternoon. My question is, do you know of anybody that has commercially or at home grown the hen of the woods or the chicken of the woods or puffballs? I have personally tried to spread the spores around in my backyard here in Madison and on the family property up north in Minocqua with no luck. And I was wondering if that can't even be done.
Hmm.
Yeah, so commercially people can grow the hen of the woods, which is Gryphula frondosa, sometimes called maitake. And so that's usually available in grocery stores, especially Asian grocery stores. And so those can be grown pretty easily. Chicken of the woods probably should never be grown commercially unless you can control the spores that are being produced by it because it's a pathogen and will kill trees. So if you have trees around your property, you might, you know, there would be a problem with trying to cultivate that. And it doesn't seem, nobody's been really successful at growing it anyway. Well, I can't remember the third one he said.
Mike, you still there?
Oh, puffballs. So puffballs,
right.
Puffballs are really closely related to the white button mushroom. So you'd have to use the methods that are applicable to that. And that's really actually really complicated, you know, using composting. And then you have a layer of casing soil over the top of it. And it takes a long time. Those are actually much more difficult to grow than any of the wood decay fungi. So it's actually really strange that that's the mushroom in the United States that's most popular.
You know, I want to digress just a minute, but not really. We've talked a little bit about cooking and preparing them. And Central Time has a chef on Friday's show this week between 3:30 and 4, who's going to be sharing a few tips for morels and preparing morels. So, I'm going to tune that in and see what the chef has to say, although I tell you what, butter.
Butter is the way to go. The most decadent way I ever made morels was I once had a visitor from New Orleans, and she brought crawfish tails with her. And I stuffed them into some giant morels made of stuffing, and then I slathered in butter and grilled them. And then cut them horizontally, and it was fantastic. It was really decadent.
Oh, man. We have and I also wanted to plug something that we have a straw bale gardening article on our blog for National Gardening Day. So we put that up for National Gardening Day, and I want to put that up. Go to ideas at WPR.org for a look at that article. It's fun to talk about straw bale gardens too, although, and mushrooms grow.
You can grow mushrooms on straw bales too, especially oyster mushrooms.
Yeah, in fact, that's usually a sign. I've done a lot of straw bale gardening. It's usually a sign that your straw bales are working really well when the mushrooms start coming out of them.
You can grow it on purpose, too.
Oh, man. Tom in Manitowoc, what's on your mind?
I just wanted to share a story with you, Larry, and then a few words of wisdom. When I used to landscape years ago, we went to work at an older gentleman's yard, and he had a few white pines growing in the backyard. And I looked under there, and he had just mowed the lawn, and he cut up thousands of morels. And he said, "Oh, them damn things come up every year. I got to cut them off with the mower." I never did get to go back and harvest them, but... a couple of the old sayings that we have are all mushrooms are edible at least once. And the other one is there's old mushroom hunters and there's bold mushroom hunters, but there's no old bold mushroom hunters.
There you go. Tom, I think you're going to be agreeing with what our Tom from Manitowoc had to say.
Yep. There are also mushrooms that if you eat them will feed you for the rest of your life.
Can you expand on that?
Yeah, if you die.
Oh man. Should you not drink alcohol when you're eating morel mushrooms? Laura wants to know.
There is a couple of different mushrooms that react with alcohol. They block alcohol metabolism. But for most mushrooms, it's not a problem. There have been reports with black morels and alcohol, but I don't know whether I believe them or not. And of course, there are personal idiosyncrasies that people have that can make them not compatible with a lot of things.
Yeah, a listener emailed. They came across some lobster mushrooms last year at a farmer's market in Madison. They were delicious, but they were only around a few weeks.
Yeah, lobster mushrooms are pretty good. They're a mold that parasitizes another mushroom. And so it looks like a lobster. You know, the mold on the outside is red, so it looks like a lobster. So they're good. They don't have that much flavor, but they make a good lobster helper.
Well, you know, fry them up in butter.
Yep. I put them in with seafood. They're fantastic.
Oh, yeah, that's not a bad idea.
The texture is pretty similar.
Oh, man. And should you leave mushrooms? Somebody, Dennis, said, hey, if I find some mushrooms in the wild, should I leave a few of them so they'll come back next year?
Probably. It's hard to really say. There have been very few studies that have examined this. So the real answer is we don't know. I think it's almost impossible to get everything anyway, so I'll leave a few.
Well, it depends on how many I'm finding, I guess. Yeah. If there's three and that's it,
yeah. I'll
tell you what, all three of them are coming my way.
I agree with that.
Tom, it's always a pleasure. Thanks so much for taking time to be with us today. Good luck with your spring morel hunting and all your mushroom hunting, and we'll talk again. Good to see you.
Okay, great. Great, good to see you too. Thank you.
Tom Volk from the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse. It was great to have him with us. World-renowned expert on mushrooms and fungi. So it was fun talking with him, and we'll get him back, and we will talk with him again. Just tomorrow, to let you know, we'll talk about why people are getting their catalytic converters stolen from their cars, and we'll also take your vehicle maintenance questions as well. in the meantime, I hope you'll stay with us. We have lots of good, interesting things in store here on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mealer.